Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Friday, September 23rd, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians crept closer to a division title for the first time since 2018. They completed what you would probably say was an improbable sweep of the Chicago White Sox. Three games at the beginning of this week. They came into town looking to just at least win one. They wound up winning three, and now they are in complete command in the Central Division. It's not a matter of if they will win the division. Now it's a matter of when.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. It was, they just, we were talking to Trevor Stephan after the game. He said, we took care of business. And, that was a perfect phrase because, they swept Chicago. You go back to starting on September 9th when they started, had a stretch of 12 games against the Twins and the White Sox, their nearest rivals in the division. And they went 10-2 against those two teams, basically, sent them home for the offseason.
It's really impressive. They are playing right now like a veteran team in the hunt for the playoffs. You see them coming out each night, taking each game as its own entity and winning that night, winning early, getting the pitching, doing the little things. We saw it again in the first inning yesterday with Andrés Giménez squaring around a bunt with two outs and a runner at third base, getting that first run home for Cleveland, putting them on the board. And it was people criticized this way of playing, this death by a thousand paper cuts or whatever. What Giménez did, that was beautiful baseball. It was fun to watch that and see them, have success right there off the bat.
Yeah, that was a perfect bunt to score Jose Ramirez. Chicago's third baseman was Yoan Moncada was playing back behind a bag, and he took advantage of the situation. Now, as we were talking about before the podcast, Earl Weaver is probably rolling in his grave right now. And all those old time managers that love the three run homer, and live by the credo, if you play for one run, that's what you get. And, but still, that was a 2-run inning. So they took a 2-0 lead. That was the second run of the inning. And it was just, a beautiful play. And it was purely instinctual. It wasn't the call didn't come from the bench. Giménez saw that Moncada was back and he just, reacted to the situation in the game. And it was, that's when, like you said, Joe, it's a beautiful part of the game that has been kind of trampled on by the home runs and guys, driving in 150 runs and the power aspect of the game.
Yeah. The three true outcomes players, those guys like Jim Thome, it's either a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. That sort of focus from baseball all these years, it maybe teams will see them doing things differently, and the focus will start to shift because this is how the organization has built itself. You look at the players that have been drafted. You bring up a Will Brennan who's a contact guy and he fits right in, and he just starts hitting right off the top in his first couple of games as well. So it's not like it happened by accident. This is what the team has been planning to do for several years now, and it's really amazing to see it come to fruition in the way that it has. It just over these last 2 weeks, they're handling all these teams that were projected to be better than them in the AL Central, youngest team in the league, and and all that. You've got guys like Stephen Kwan, who's now tied for the league lead in triples because he puts the bat on the ball and he gets his rear end around the bases.
Yeah, they just they really basically ran the White Sox out of the ballpark in this three game series. It seemed like every time you looked up, they were going first to third. They were forcing the White Sox defense into errors. They just dominated the game with their speed. I would hate to be a catcher and a pitcher, you know, trying to control that running game, and they've really taken advantage of it, and they've been successful at it. You know, they haven't been running they haven't ran into a lot of outs. They, you know, every time they run, it's usually with a purpose, and it's usually successful.
Yeah, pesky is a way that they've been described. I think Rocco Baldelli and the Twins described them in that way, but you know, not in a derogatory way, but just like you know, they never let teams like Minnesota and Chicago that were built more for those big three-run innings to get settled in and do that to them. They're able to, with their defense, with their pitching, you know, have quick innings, get through, and you know, a solo home run doesn't really hurt them, and when their offense is clicking, they've been really successful just in these last 2 weeks. It starts with Kwan at the top. Obviously, when Miles Straw is clicking at the bottom of the lineup, we've seen that connection. You wrote about that, how that you know, has worked as well. But really, you look at Shane Bieber on the mound, and he's the reason why you were able to go out there and sort of nip away at them, you know, a run or two every couple of innings, because Shane Bieber's giving you consistency and, you know, 7-8 innings a start now every time he takes the mound.
Yeah, he's been he was really in the groove last night. He gave up a run in the first inning when, you know, after Cleveland had taken a 1-0 lead. And but then he kind of just shut them down until giving up the home run to Sheets in to start the eighth. But he's won his last four games, Joe. He, you know, and he's allowed 5 earned runs in 30 innings over his last four starts. It's been a dominant, really. He's been the Shane Bieber that we saw in 2020. A little different version, not throwing as hard, but he's you know, answered the bell every time out. And he's fun to watch. And like you said, you know, with that bullpen and that starting rotation, you know, all you have to do is score 3 or 4 runs and they can make that stand up.
Yeah, it's taken, you know, since he came back from that injury last year, it took almost a full year for him to really round into that dominant form that he was at prior to the injury. But now we're seeing him do that. Like you said, there might be a few, you know, a little fewer RPM, miles per hour off of the fastball, but he's effective. He's a pitcher. He knows how to pitch to these guys and get them out, set them up for things. Is Shane Bieber now firmly in the Cy Young conversation? Maybe one or two more starts this regular season. Is that enough to get him, you know, into that top five in the Cy Young voting?
Well, he's had 189 innings, Joe. He's probably got two more starts, 189 strikeouts. I think he's in the conversation. I think he'll probably run out of time here. You know, like Jake LaMotta, he never lost. He just ran out of time. So I think you know that's probably working against him, but. You know, definitely. He's 12-8, 2.81 ERA. And he's, you know, he's been, you know, it's kind of a toss up when you think who's the best starter on this staff. I mean, McKenzie's pitched well, Quantrill's pitched well, and Bieber certainly, you know, takes a backseat to no one.
Yeah, I think you start with Bieber on this staff. I think you have to, just because of the pedigree in the background. And then what McKenzie has given you just recently and really consistently throughout the season, I think you got to look at him. Quantrill takes his lumps. He gives up hits, he gets beat up, but he gives you innings. He's just such a grinder. I think that right there is your three for your your wild card series as I can't believe we're sitting here right now talking about setting a rotation for the wild card series. I want to get into, you know, who the potential opponents might be for that wild card series here in a minute, but just in wrapping up, you know, this series in Chicago, you know, Cleveland and the dominant stretch they just went on over their last 12 games, 10-2, Kwan goes 8-for-16 against the White Sox in this series. Naylor now up to what, 19 home runs.
Yeah.
I think he drove in almost 20 runs himself against the White Sox this season. Between Kwan and Naylor, the White Sox are pretty much happy to see the Guardians leave town and not come back this year.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, you know, the way Naylor celebrates, and, you know, he hit that home run Wednesday, and, you know, he's circling the bases, pointing to the sky, pounding his chest. I thought somebody was going to get drilled, Joe. I thought somebody either Wednesday or last night, but I think the White Sox just were so deflated after that loss on Tuesday, the 11-inning loss, 10-7, the game they knew they had to have to stay in this thing. I just think, you know, they wilted. You could see it. You could almost see it when they took the field that it wasn't that they had lost their edge.
Yeah, you could say that the Guardians absolutely stole the hearts out of the White Sox there with that win on Tuesday, and then just the rest of the series. And for stealing, I guess that's why the rookies were made to wear prison jumpsuits and rounded up by the catchers Luke Maley and Austin Hedges. Really kind of fun. This is a tradition that the club has had for years. The final road trip of the season, the rookies and first year players all have to wear some sort of costume on the flight to the final the road series. What did you learn about that? What did you find out from the club and from the players about how that all came about?
Well, I think Austin Hedges and Luke Maley, the catchers, were behind this. They were the ringleaders, and it wasn't just rookies, like you were saying, Joe. I mean, what was Ahmed Rosario doing wearing hats, wearing a prison jumpsuit? He's got 5 years in the big league, so maybe, I don't know what was going on.
Maybe he just likes the color orange. I think that might be it. I don't know. I saw Owen Miller in there as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he's not qualified. Owen Miller and Eli Morgan. Yeah. I don't know if either of them qualify as rookies this year, but, you know, it's always interesting. Heck, the 1 year we saw Augie Rivero, the translator, he was dressed up as you know, one of the characters that I think they did superheroes the 1 year and he was dressed up. So it might just be rookies and, in parentheses, anybody who likes to dress up for any occasion. So,
yeah, I was thinking maybe they didn't do this last year because of COVID or something, and maybe those guys got caught in the backwash, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing is with as many rookies as you've had come up and debut this year, I believe Will Brennan was the 16th on the list. You've got to find something that's, you know, there's enough of it. You can't be, you know, like the Beatles or something. It's got to be something where you can find 12 of them and have everybody dress up. So somebody raided a Spirit Halloween, I guess, and got the costumes all taken care of. Credit to Tony Amato, I guess, for doing his job there. But fun to see that. Fun to see that this team and this club, you could tell in the clubhouse. I wanted to ask you actually about, was it Tuesday night's win when they were interviewing Kwan in the clubhouse, and basically Miles Straw and Austin Hedges came over. Were you guys around when they were doing that?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. If they were acting like they were interviewing them or giving them a hard time, I don't know. It was strange. They were, when we were talking to Bieber last night, they were, you know, Austin Hedges was screaming something. It was like bedlam in there after that game.
Yeah, this is the time of year and the situation with this team where a guy like Austin Hedges' personality can really come out and really sort of take over that clubhouse. When you know you're you know, days away from clinching the division championship, Austin Hedges has one of those big, boisterous personalities, and it doesn't surprise me that he's, you know, butting in on Stephen Kwan's on-air live interview with Andre, and Miles Straw comes over. He's drinking a protein shake and, you know, throwing his arm around guys, and Hedges is there with no shirt on and just,
yeah.
You know.
Hedges only does interviews with no shirts on now. He doesn't do interviews with his shirt on. That's
well, you're lucky. You're lucky he's wearing pants, that's all.
Yeah.
At that point. So, you know, just a real fun scene. This is this right now is the most fun time to be around that club because as soon as they wind up clinching and wind up starting to get, you know, their ducks in a row, it's going to get serious again. And they're going to start looking at Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Toronto, the three teams that are potential matchups now in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, that wild card race is, you know, really kind of nip and tuck. It's really close. Toronto's in first place at 84 and 66. The Rays are 83 and 67, the same record as the Guardians, and Seattle is 82 and 67. You know, if the postseason started today, you know, it would be Cleveland versus Seattle for three at Progressive Field. So, you know, but I think, you know, the Guardians are going to have, you know, something to say about, you know, who wins that or, you know, the final order of finish there, because they're playing the Rays when they get home in a three game series.
Yeah. That first series home next week is three games against the Rays. The Rays will be highly motivated to win those games. So, you know, obviously they're going to put their best lineup in there, and, you know, don't be surprised if Tito throws a Cody Morris or a you know, even a Hunter Gaddis, somebody comes up to make a start in one of those games just to sort of reset the pitching order and get things lined up for October 7th when the postseason would begin. A move like that wouldn't surprise me. The Yankees head up to Toronto after their next series, so, you know, there could be desperation there for Toronto in terms of wanting to try and keep a hold of the home field advantage in their first round wild card matchup, and obviously that's a big advantage if they have it against a team like Toronto or a team like Tampa Bay or Seattle, because you might have guys who aren't vaccinated and can't make the trip. So, you know, very interesting to see what happens there over the next, you know, week to 10 days with these matchups. I just want to know who you think matches up best against the Guardians in a favorable matchup for Cleveland.
Well, they didn't match up too well against Seattle, Joe. You saw that.
No. I covered almost out of seven games, I think I covered six of them, and none of them went very well.
So, but they're struggling a little bit now. So maybe, you know, they're not as good as they looked against Cleveland that, you know, during that home and away series. But they are a dangerous team. They've got pitching, power, you know, bullpen. They have a little bit of everything. I, you know, Joe, if I had my druthers, I'd kind of go with Toronto, but that was just with me getting a quick look at Toronto, you know, a three game series at Rogers Center in Toronto. I didn't think they looked good at all. I mean, the Cleveland won that series, and to me, Toronto wasn't hitting. They looked sloppy defensively, and I thought Cleveland speed could upset them, but, you know, it's probably not going to shake out that way. But out of the three, you know, I don't, the Rays always scare me. You know, they always kind of pull a rabbit out of the hat. But if I could pick the matchup right now, I'd go with Toronto.
Yeah. John Schneider, obviously the interim manager there, he took over midway through the season. So it's not like, you know, they've had the smoothest ride this year, but they're the team with the most talent. I think they're the team that a lot of people pick to actually win the World Series this year. So there's that. There's, you know, what they can bring to the table when they're playing their best baseball. We just haven't really seen that out of Toronto. I think, like you said, probably the scariest option to me is Tampa Bay. just because we know that at any time, the starting pitching and the bullpen can completely shut a team down. We've seen that over the years from Tampa Bay. And, you know, there's a lot of intrigue with that matchup would be with Kevin Cash. And history shows that when the Guardians host the Rays in a wild card game or matchup in at Progressive Field, that things don't necessarily go as planned.
Yeah, I forgot about what 2013, right? 4-0. They were done. They went the last 10 games of the regular season, and they were done in one and done in the wild card.
Yeah, that's something you definitely don't want to see happen. All right, Hoynsie, tonight's matchup in Texas, Guardians versus Rangers. First time we've been back to that ballpark since what?
Since the final series of last year.
Final series of last year, yeah. What are we looking for tonight out of the Guardians?
Yeah, interesting matchup. Cody Morris, rookie, making his fifth start, is going against John Gray, their best starter. But Texas, you know, they spent all that money, Joe, like $500 million over the winter, and the GM gets fired, the manager gets fired. And, you know, they've been eliminated, basically. So things haven't gone well for Texas. So hopefully, you know, Cleveland keeps him on the downward slide. Joe, one thing. Can you explain what has to happen for Cleveland to clinch?
Yeah, there is a scenario where the Guardians could clinch the division title before they get home on to open the final homestand on Tuesday. But they would have to either sweep Texas or win 2 out of 3 in Texas, and the White Sox would either have to lose 2 or 3 games against Detroit at home this weekend. So any combination of either Cleveland 2 or 3 wins and Chicago either 2 or 3 losses gets the Guardians a chance to clinch on Sunday. The best case scenario would be, you know, the Guardians win Friday, Saturday, the White Sox lose Friday, Saturday, and then the Guardians take care of business themselves on Sunday by winning and winning the title. Otherwise, you have to, you know, go with some sort of combination. But it's the magic number is 5 right now. And I at this time last week, it was what? It was 13, 14. Actually, it was like 17. It's amazing how many numbers they've shaved off of that magic number total in just a week's time.
Yeah, when you go head to head with the teams that are chasing you, it can change fast.
Well, it certainly has done that. We're looking forward to tonight's game and each game of the series this weekend. Hoynsie, will check in with you again on Monday here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.